Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. Well, throw down. Throw down.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, RVD himself, Rab Van Dam. Will Rab. Rab, how are we doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic, as always. Of course, I am the whole effing show, so I think it's very appropriate that we finally came upon a solid name.
Yeah.
I think this has traction.
Yeah, I have to say this is one of the better nicknames I've given you at the open of a show. And I have to say it.
We really lucked out.
You being the ECW honk that you are, how has it taken us, what, 8 episodes at this point to get to RVD? I mean, we were bitching and moaning about how, oh, there's no wrestlers with R names. What about Rob Van Dam?
Well, I remember the last time I was listening to the last podcast when I was working out. I came up with some more names and then promptly forgot all of them. That's what happens.
Whoops.
When you sleep and you
do other stuff.
In some of the things that Rob Van Dam partakes in.
Beverages, right?
Beverages.
Yes.
Beverages.
Legal beverages.
Legal beverages.
With marijuana mixed in.
Hey, I'm just eating an apple.
Oh,
but
God.
No, I think it would probably had something to do with him, you know, wasting away in TNA.
Yeah, and we'll definitely touch on the returning RVD in the next segment, but that's what we call a tease in the business.
A tease.
In the meantime, we're going to talk a little bit about Money in the Bank. It seems to be shaping up quite nicely.
Yeah, and I again have to give WWE credit. We did just last week have a pay-per-view, and we are getting close to another one. But although, because they're doing 12, they used to do like try to do 13.
Yeah, 14 sometimes 14, which is just ridiculous.
But they're spacing them well, and I don't know the exact count, but it seems like they're all spaced where there's at least 3 to 4 weeks between them here lately.
Yeah, they have at least 3 weeks between them, which, in my opinion, that's kind of a short build to a pay-per-view, but at the same time, they're the WWE, so they can make it work, I guess.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want a 3-week build to SummerSlam.
No, or Mania, or the Rumble or something like
but
that.
They're doing a good job, and it kind of keeps you on their feet because things have to kind of happen quickly, and I think, again, of course, it helps with the announcement of RVD coming back, which we'll talk more about later. That put excitement in the Money in the Bank no matter what, but they've really developed some good feuds, or put, you know, the embers towards what could be some good feuds.
Oh, absolutely.
For this next pay-per-view. They're not. It doesn't seem like they're half-assing it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this calendar year.
And you're talking about putting the stokes to, I guess, flame these feuds. I mean, we really do have some good ones going into Money in the Bank. We have Mark Henry and John Cena for the WWE Championship, and we have Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler going at it again, but kind of a role reversal now.
Yeah, and get in more into this later, but that the both of those, I think, were created really well, and looking at it now, you know, I think certainly disappointed. Not that Dolph Ziggler won't ever have another championship, but it worked out well to take the strap off him to kind of reignite that feud with him being gone so long. It created a point of controversy, which they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the same thing with Mark Henry, because that was at a left field.
Man, they handled that perfectly.
Yes.
But I feel like we're getting a little bit too far ahead of ourselves.
Let's start with one of the matches that the pay-per-view's named for.
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes, and of course, if you're listening to a wrestling podcast, we assume that you read spoilers, and this won't be posted before SmackDown goes on the air tonight anyway.
Exactly. So this isn't really a spoiler.
No. World Heavyweight Championship match, or Money in the Bank contract match announced. Jack Swagger.
The returning Jack Swagger.
The returning Jack Swagger, returning to his America.
His America.
Team Rhodes Scholars, which I know both of us will be excited about.
He's my best friend! I love Damian Sandow.
I love Damian Sandow and Shanguis.
Oh, those two are so perfect together. And they've really made SmackDown entertaining over the last month. And then their free YouTube match was also a fun one.
Absolutely. Antonio Cesaro, who has joined Jack Swagger's America, which is interesting.
Yep.
Fandango.
Apparently he's coming back.
Apparently, he
Well, cleared to return from his concussion.
He'd return, if not now, by the time we get to Money in
the
Bank.
By July 14th.
And, you know, great way to kind of work a guy back in a match that has so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to star on his own.
Exactly.
Wade Barrett, who I think is on his fourth or fifth different theme song this month.
Yeah, this month. Dude changes his song like it's a freaking Spotify account. And then we have one more, the United States champion, Dean Ambrose of The Shield.
Of The Shield. The Shield continues to grow. I thought that was fantastic Monday. It was Monday, right? Where the Shield, we're supposed to have consequences if they interfered.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Team Bricky did nothing.
Well, Triple H wanted justice, and then Vince is like, nah, don't worry about it. And then Stephanie's like, hey, listen to me, because I'm a McMahon, too. And then Shane O'Mac got on his Vine account and got it a Team Bricky. That didn't really happen, though. I really wish it did. Shane McMahon, please come back.
I would hate that Shane McMahon's only outlet would be Vine. I hate Vine worse than I hated Tout. Have you noticed that they've cooled off on Tout?
I'm totally fine with it. Though, if you remember when Christian returned 2 weeks ago, Captain Charisma had to do a backstage Tout about how he was getting it back up or something.
If
weird.
If anybody is allowed to tout, it is Christian or Y2J.
Yeah.
But, and I texted you this a couple days ago when I saw it after the SmackDown taping, and you said you thought that it was kind of a lackluster Money in the Bank.
I mean, it really is.
On the SmackDown side. Do you still feel that way?
I really do, especially compared to the Raw Money in the Bank, which we'll get to here in a minute. But I mean, just looking at it, you have Jack Swagger, you have Rhodes Scholars, Antonio Cesaro, Dean Ambrose, Wade Barrett, and Fandango. What? I mean, okay, generally with these ladder matches, you need to have a ring general, or at least a couple people to, you know, keep the flow moving. I look at that and I see Cody Rhodes is a ring general and maybe Jack Swagger. Outside of that, the rest of those guys, at least in the WWE, are kind of novices when it comes to the ladder match.
Yeah, you got a lot of young pups.
Mm-hmm, you really do.
In there.
And I mean, you said it best. You have all these young pups in there. Where, look at the Raw one. You have, I mean, how many world heavyweight champions or former world heavyweight champions? I think every single person in the...
Is Brian Orton shape, yeah.
Yeah, every single one of them is a former world heavyweight or WWE champion. And, I mean, those are some big names, but at the same time, it's just the SmackDown Money in the Bank just feels very lackluster for me. And I really can't give a... This is reason A, B, and C. It's just the feel I get from it. Just very, really? Okay. Well, and then another thing, I mean, all heels. All heels in the match.
Yeah.
Which I'm not one of these internet wrestling fans like, oh, you have to have good versus bad. I mean, I don't need face versus heel, but at the same time, it's still a little weird.
Yeah, and especially since you're only going to have two Money in the Bank winners. Only one guy can win each match. That's just the law of the match.
Wow, way to go out on a limb there, dude.
Hey, there's only going to be one.
that was very John Madden-esque.
Yeah.
The team that scores the most points will win the football game. Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't have a problem with the moving parts in either match, but they could have divided it up more evenly. It kind of reminds me, and I guess I'm just thinking on this because on the sports page we've been doing this summer of college football. So I've been going through a lot of spring game audio trying to find sound bites. So I'm thinking like a spring, I'm thinking like spring football, where traditionally they would divide the teams up and it would be like the orange team would be the first team offense and the first team defense. And then the second string guys were the white team. And
if you're local here in Knoxville, Tennessee, go Vols.
Okay, whatever school, you get my point. Ever divided up whatever colors they have. But that never really put together a good game. So then they decided, well, the spring game's kind of meaningless. We really get what we get out of this from the scrimmages and evaluating people. Let's put on a good show for our fans. And now they kind of do a draft and kind of divided it up more equally. They kind of could have done that here with the Money in the Bank matches, where a guy like Christian would have been valuable in the world heavyweight match because he's a ring general.
Oh, absolutely.
Or you have a veteran like Kane who could have been in that SmackDown match. And that also kind of ties in because Kane and Orton and Bryan have been feuding with the Shield.
Yeah, and
where you have
an
Orton or a Kane or whatever making sure that Ambrose doesn't win.
Exactly.
Type sorted twist worked in there.
And you know who the WWE probably misses during these type of matches? Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy was the best ring general when it came to ladder matches. And, I mean, I was a big Matt Hardy fan. It's just kind of unfortunate. He wanted a bigger spot. He wasn't comfortable in being that gatekeeper that Christian, for all intents and purposes, is now. And I don't know.
I even think you could have put Sheamus over there on the SmackDown side, and he could have, being that he's a former world champion, he's held both belts. He's not been in a lot of ladder matches, but it's about having guys who have experience in a chaotic situation.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, just looking at the SmackDown Money in the Bank, people who have experiences in ladder matches or Money in the Bank, Jack Swagger, Cody Rhodes, is that it? Wait, no, Wade Barrett, well, I think, has been in a Money in the Bank. But I know Fandango hasn't. I know Cesaro hasn't. I'm almost positive Damian Sandow hasn't. And I know
Ambrose
for a fact
hasn't.
Ambrose hasn't.
No. But at the end of the day, the matches are set. And certainly they have confidence in somebody to help keep that moving along.
Yeah.
And we've also seen over the years that if they screw up something for SmackDown, the WWE really doesn't care.
Yeah. Mr. Kennedy's Money in the Bank reign says hi. Well, of course, Mr. Kennedy lost that for different reasons.
He's another guy over there in TNA who, if he could have kept his head on straight, because that Mr. Anderson, I'm an asshole character.
Yeah.
Fantastic. In my book of the couple of times I've been to see, the only time I ever watch TNA is if I go see them tape it live, because I'll go watch any promotion put on a live wrestling show.
It's wrestling.
Yep. But, you know, we speak of Swagger here, and I guess another item that came out this week was they had the court action on his
A resolution to his February DUI arrest.
Yeah. He pulled over somewhere in Louisiana, of all places. I read in the original story on DUI and speeding charges back in February. Real quickly, just to catch you up, he was fined $1,300, $1,000 fine, $300 worth of court cost, had to pay $1,300, and he was sentenced to 2 days in jail, but it was suspended. And then they also threw out the marijuana charge, which, you know, if you have a good attorney, you can get things thrown out. It's amazing. I've never had to have an attorney, so I can't personally recommend one, nor would I know which one to recommend to you for your jurisdiction.
What about Saul Goodman? I hear you can't go wrong with Saul. I hear you better call Saul, as a matter of fact. That's a Breaking Bad reference.
All I know is if I get arrested, I'm calling the Fonz.
Or what about Bob Loblaw?
Bob Loblaw, yeah.
And you can find him on Bob Loblaw's Law Blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're way over the heads.
Oh,
some,
Arrested Development. But yeah, Jackie Swags is getting off.
Got the jail sentence suspended, and this may have something to do with it. Swagger was quoted saying the following to the police officer when he was arrested, admitting to smoking marijuana, and adding, quote, "I know I fucked up. I apologize, man." Which I imagine sounded a lot like, I know I fucked up.
I'm sorry, man.
Apologize, man. Like, you want a hit?
But, yeah, it looks like Jack Swagger is not going to face any jail time. Well, he was originally sentenced to 2 days in jail, but that's been thrown out.
That's been suspended, so I don't understand if, like, I guess he can just serve that some other way. Obviously not house arrest because he has to travel for the WWE.
Yeah.
But they'll suspend that. And I'm sure he's certainly on probation. So if he stays out of trouble and completes his probation, then the jail would go away. If he violated his probation, he would have that sentence plus whatever the penalty for violating the probation is, my assumption.
Yeah.
Again, I am not a lawyer.
We're not lawyers.
Nor am I a non-attorney spokesperson or any of the other crap you hear on the radio.
We're not even Clay Travis, who's a sports person who has a law degree.
Well, that's true. We're also smarter than Clay Travis.
Hey, I'm a Clay Travis fan.
But I guess that's good for him. There's a lot. I remember that when that happened, that was literally right after he won.
Yeah,
Elimination Chamber,
and people were like, "Okay, well, what is WWE going to do now?"
I guess makes sense because they had Elimination Chamber in New Orleans.
It was in the site of next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, which I guess that makes sense for why he was in. I couldn't figure out why he was in court in BFE New Orleans.
Yeah, because I mean, who the hell goes to Louisiana
for no reason?
Am I right? No.
Yes.
Who is from Louisiana? Yes. Yeah.
So, Swagger's cleared up his legal trouble, and I guess that opens him up for Money in the Bank, and sounds as good a time as ever to take a break.
Yep. So
keep it locked. Here to Near Fall Radio. When we come back, we'll expand upon the other Money in the Bank ladder match, and we'll also tell you about the return of my namesake, RVD.
That's right. Keep it locked. You're listening to Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt munch.
Welcome back to Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. I'm your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, RVD himself, Rab Van Dam. Will Rab, what's up, buddy?
Dude, you just gotta wait a minute, dude. Just get breathing.
Yes, the song you hear in the background is Rob Van Dam's theme, One of a Kind, and I have to tell you, it looks like Will Rab is about to start breaking out in cartwheels. He's that excited.
Yes. When I figured out what was going on when we were watching Payback.
Yeah, at Buffalo Wild Wings.
At the B-dubs. Because I was looking at the promo, and I'm looking at the promo, and I'm hearing the songs. And I'm like, this is clearly something about RVD.
Well, and they were showing video of RVD, you know, jumping around and doing kicks and crap and doing Rolling Thunders.
And I was thinking DVD.
So was I. I remember you saying, it's like, even if this is a DVD, I'm totally going to buy this.
I was kind of thinking, okay, they're doing an RVD DVD.
How random, right?
Why are they doing that? Or has the WWE acquired TNA?
And then at the end of the promo, it said Rob Van Dam returning Money in the Bank. Buffalo Wild Wings went absolutely insane. Like we were there for the Royal Rumble where we saw Punk and Rock, and Buffalo Wild Wings lost their mind when they thought Punk was going to beat the Rock until Vince McMahon came back out and restarted the matchup. They were louder than that when they saw RVD was coming back. There were RVD chants for crying out loud.
They were louder than when John Cena won the Royal Rumble, so all the marks mm-hmm. realized that they were going to get to have a mark-out fest between The Rock and John Cena.
Well, and to say that they were more excited than John Cena winning the Rumble, that's saying something. Because do you remember the guys were jumping up and down, running around the bar area, high-fiving each other? You remember that. The guy next to us dropped down on his knees, threw his arms in the air like he's in fucking Platoon or something. They were more excited for RVD reaction, than that.
Yeah, that was so. That tells you. I mean, RVD's been over in TNA for however many years.
A couple years. He's been off making bongs out of apples on Spike TV for a couple of years.
He's been in wrestling purgatory.
Yeah, pretty much
for a while. But he's one of those guys that connects, I guess, kind of with our generation. Mm-hmm. I'm more the ECW guy in the group, and you're kind of. We're both big WWE guys, but I kind of was more into ECW. You were more into
WCW.
In addition to what was going on with the WWE.
Yeah.
I had to revise this, not top five, but certainly in my top 10 of favorite superstars. Because he just, I guess it's kind of like, it's kind of a lot like John Cena, actually. He's himself. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think RVD's much of a character.
Well, if you've heard him talk, you know he's not much of a character.
Exactly. when your gimmick can be that you're yourself and you can just get over, but that's amazing. But also, you know, he's really gonna deliver a good match,
mm-hmm. Especially in an environment like a Money in the Bank, where I mean, he has all these toys to play with and jump off of and wrap around people's head. I guess now would be a good time to tell you about the match that he's returning for. Rob Van Dam is going to be taking part in the WWE Championship Money in the Bank match, where he'll be facing off against Best in the World, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, the returning Christian, and Kane.
Kind of like we talked about, those are all former champions.
Yeah, I mean, those are seven former World Heavyweight Champions, and they're all faces. Much like the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank was all heels. Flip side, they're going to do all faces on the Raw one.
Has RVD won both the WWE and the World Heavyweight?
He didn't win the World Heavyweight. He won the WWE Championship from John Cena.
At One Night Stand.
At the first One Night Stand, where I still vividly remember that sign, if Cena wins, we riot. And I think they would have.
Yes.
Yeah.
They would have burned down the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yep.
Because that was an ECW crowd.
And then they would have chanted ECW. ECW as the firemen came in and tried to save their lives. But
yes.
Yeah, so of the two, I really don't think it's that close, which is the better ladder match. Now I'm not downplaying the World Heavyweight Championship ladder match. I'm sure it's going to be fine, but compared those seven to the seven in the WWE Championship match, I know which one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, because he totally, not to fantasy book, but we were talking about this, about evening the matches out. I would have swapped Kane into the World Heavyweight match, and I would have even broken up, not that I'm breaking up the teams, but you could have had the guys from Rhodes Scholars
go
just to spread it out,
so Damian Sandow can walk around on the outside pointing at Cody Rhodes, that's my best friend.
Yeah, or you know, Sheamus.
I really like
been
that,
over
by the way.
in the World Heavyweight. The brands don't matter anymore, so you
they
could
really
put
don't.
Guys wherever, and it would have been okay because they appear on both TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not dogging any, I'm not saying any of these guys in either of these matches are mid-card guys, but the whole point of the Money in the Bank match is you kind of, I think you kind of take a guy who people can believe that he deserves to kind of have an opportunity at a championship. But he's kind of on the outside. He's not necessarily your number one contender, especially in this case because we have two world heavyweight.
Yeah,
we have two world championship matches on the card.
I'll agree with you on that when it comes to the Money in the Bank. Maybe when it started, because if you remember when it was just the ladder match at WrestleMania, it had, you know, those guys, like you said, you could see them getting that title shot. They just haven't gotten it yet. Where now, I mean, it's like, heck, last year John Cena won the Money in the Bank. Are you telling me John Cena fits that mold?
No, but I think that's what you have shaping up in the World Heavyweight match. So that's why I think it would have made, you could have evened it out. There's some interchangeable parts. Like, I mean, what if you put, you know, Fandango in the Raw match instead of Christian?
I'm and send Christian over there.
Or clearly RVD needed to be in the WWE Championship.
Yes.
You're bringing back RVD. He's your big thing kind of popping for Money in the Bank. That's what is creating all the excitement. Put him in the premier match. Let him work with Punk and Bryan. I would have kept Punk, Bryan, Orton, and RVD in the WWE match, and then I would have moved the other parts interchangeably just to fill spots. Because let's be honest, some of those guys are just in there because you need
bodies. Yeah, and
just
you
just like the Royal Rumble. It's no disrespect to the primetime players, but you need bodies.
Well, millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars.
But you're too caught up in that. Really fantastic match that they put together.
I'm really looking forward to this. I think that's going to be a fun match.
You have seven guys in that match who could wrestle a what do they call the damn dolls that AJ was playing with?
Oh, the wrestling buddies?
Or whatever, little wrestling buddy dolls.
Yeah.
You could put CM Punk in a ring with a wrestling Cabbage Patch doll, and you get a match of the year. Same with Daniel Bryan. And I kind of where they're going with this, you know.
You think Daniel Bryan's going to win the WWE Money in the Bank?
I do.
So do I.
I think some of these other guys are in there to make the match legitimate and make it entertaining, but Punk has other stuff he can go do.
Yeah, that is
him
true.
Him and Brock Lesnar is not settled.
No, well, that's the thing. 2 weeks
that Heyman thing is you can. That's going to be that has the potential to be one of the best storylines
of the year. Easy.
Of the year, if not ever.
Well, let's calm down there, fanboy. But I'm looking forward
maybe
to
not
this,
ever, but
to this
in a
storyline as
really
well.
Really a strong storyline.
Can I say something about CM Punk that might be
sure
perceived? Yeah, blasphemous, controversial. I'm starting to get tired of his shtick. He's been cutting the same promo about how he's the best in the world for the last year and a half, and he just came back from being gone 2 months, and he's still the best in the world. It's like, hell, his match with Alberto Del Rio last week on Raw was because Alberto Del Rio had used the word best, and CM Punk didn't like that. I like Punk. I like his character. I like what he does in the ring. Dude needs to get a new shtick.
Yeah, and he could even get a new shtick within this whole thing. I don't know. I think that's always been his thing, is though that he's been disrespected.
Well, I get that, but at the same time, it's like we've heard this song and dance before.
He proved that he's the best in the world when he was the WWE champion for a year and a half. I get it. He can shut up now.
Exactly. And every promo he's cutting is about how he's the best in the world, and he's a true wrestler, not a superstar or something like that. And like I said, I like what he does. I'm just getting kind of tired of the song and dance because we've heard and seen it before. We've heard and seen it a lot, as a matter of fact. It's like the internet gets on John Cena about his five moves of doom, about how John Cena can't wrestle. He only knows these handful of stuff. Well, at this point, isn't it kind of safe to say CM Punk only knows one promo?
Yeah, but let's say if Stone Cold Steve Austin comes on Raw Monday, if he doesn't drink beer and talk about how he's going to whoop ass and say what?
Yeah.
You'd be disappointed. And yeah,
not about the what part. I would actually be really happy if he came out and did not say what.
My point is, Steve Austin's been doing the same promo for 15 years.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
He's
see
not
him
full-time, but I'm just saying, that's a guy who's been doing the same promo for 15 years.
Yeah, but he did that after he became Stone Cold Steve Austin. Before that, he was the Ringmaster. Before that, he was Steve Williams. He was in the Hollywood Blondes in WCW. He can cut promos, just like Punk can cut promos. I've seen him cut promos. I've seen some of his ROH stuff, his very brief stint in TNA. You might people forget him and Mickey James were in TNA together. But so I know he can do good promos. I'm just tired of his promo that he's just doing over and over and over again.
It could freshen up, and if it doesn't freshen up right away, after this feud's done, I would think he would have to do something else.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you want to come out and look Brock Lesnar in the face and say, I'm the best in the world. He's going to laugh at you, and then you see CM Punk as a toothpick.
Yeah, but that's probably where that's going. I don't think anybody thinks CM Punk's going to beat Brock Lesnar when they finally have their match, and they might just put that all to bed. That might be the funeral of best in the world.
Could be.
But
sorry, I got off on this whole CM Punk tangent.
That's fine. looking back at the match, I do think that this is clear. And, of course, I think this because I have good information to believe so. When, you know,
you have information.
Well, when Dave Metzger says something, a lot of times,
yeah, it's generally
he
true.
Knows what he's talking about. I'm not saying that it's set in stone that one of the main events you're going to see at SummerSlam is Daniel Bryan versus John Cena, but it is, according to him, that's where they're going next, is one of the next feuds for Cena will be with Daniel Bryan.
But, I mean, that makes sense, but at the same time, if you've been watching the product for the last month and a half, you could probably see this is where they're going, because Daniel Bryan is the hottest act in the company.
And he has
everything he touches just gold.
Yeah, and he has this obsession with being the weak link.
So if he goes out and
wins the Money in the Bank, and then he starts a feud with Cena, that finally conquers that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I have to say, ever since he's had this like chip on his shoulder, he's the weak link. He's been running around, fired up, getting people's faces. He's like that little bulldog who's like, you know, doesn't realize he's a little bulldog. He thinks he's a big fucking, you know, mastiff or some
that
shit.
That main event with him and Orton the other
Yeah.
night.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. We've been saying, man, that match between Daniel Bryan and Blank the other night. Wow. We've been saying that a whole lot. I mean, you remember that match he had with Rollins a couple weeks ago? That might be my match of the year. I loved that match. I had people... one of my friends, I went over to his apartment. He's not a wrestling fan. His roommate is, and he said he was walking through the kitchen, and his roommate was watching the Daniel Bryan Seth Rollins match. He had to sit down and finish watching that match. He was drawn into it. Daniel Bryan is on fire right now.
Well, it's like we said the other night. We were joking about it. It's one of our kind of ongoing jokes. Daniel Bryan got two of the simplest words in the English language over.
Yep. Yes and no.
While at the same time managing to date a Bella mm-hmm. with a goat face beard.
Yep. Daniel Bryan is a god among men, apparently.
Yes. Except Vince McMahon, because Daniel Bryan's a vegan.
Yep. But, well, actually, I heard he's no longer a vegan. We might have to do
some research
during the break. Speaking of the break, I figure now's as good a time as any to get to it, because on the other side of the break, we have two championship matches to talk about, plus kind of a surprising action when it comes to a WWE DVD. How's that for a tease? You like that? Keep it locked. You're listening to Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt, munch. Welcome back into Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt and munch.
I am Rab Van Dam, Will Rab, and I am here with the Dawes, Landon Doan, hanging out. Been a good show so far. Talked about the Money in the Bank matches and some other stuff related to that. Jack Swagger.
This Sunday will be 2 weeks away from Money in the Bank.
Indeed. Jack Swagger getting his legal problems resolved, RVD coming back. Before the break, we were, for some reason, it came to us that maybe Daniel Bryan may or may not be vegan.
And breaking news, as of September of last year, Daniel Bryan is no longer a vegan.
Yeah, apparently he developed a soy intolerance. Like mm-hmm. I guess that could happen. You eat too much of something.
Your body just builds up a resistance to it.
Yeah, so he just can't handle soy.
And he also said CM Punk has given up the vegan diet for the same reason as well. Of course, I didn't know CM Punk was a vegan.
I kind of picked up on it from watching his DVD Best in the World that not necessarily he was vegan, but he was real particular about what he ate, and he didn't eat a lot of meat. But that makes sense on the road when you're traveling and having to deal with craft services or picking something up from the Pantera bread.
Or whatever's open after you're done doing that house show in Biloxi, Mississippi at like 11 o'clock at night. Yeah.
So it's really hard, you know, and obviously if you're an athlete, to keep your protein levels where these guys need to keep it to keep their physique mm-hmm. where it needs to be, you have to take in a lot of soy. So that resolves that random.
Yes, vegan gate is now over. Everybody can go back to their normal lives.
Well, it's one of those things that pop up, and we said we'd figure it out, so we didn't want to actually do that.
And by God, we did.
We didn't want to tease you and not deliver.
I guess that would make us mic teases.
Yes. A couple more matches we want to talk about before we put a wrap on this edition of Near Fall Radio, which, speaking of which, you can go to buttmunchchips.com and click on Near Fall Radio, listen to past episodes.
Download all 7 past episodes.
Hey, you need something to do this weekend, or you'd like something to listen to while you run at the gym, that's what I do as soon mm-hmm. as Landon posts it. You know, I go do my workout that day, or the next time I go work out, I listen to the show. Very good, you know.
Background
music, noise, conversation. Good place to actually be able to kind of pay attention to it.
And Rab and I are occasionally entertaining.
Occasionally. we're occasionally entertaining. We're usually factful on our thoughts on wrestling. Or I think we have a unique point of view.
I'd like to think so.
And so we are going to touch on the two remaining championship matches that have been confirmed.
Oh, well, wait a minute. There are 3, but one's a tag match between The Shield and The Usos.
That's right, because they are the number one contenders. Mm-hmm.
I do have to say I'm digging the new Uso look, and I'm happy the WWE is putting some oomph behind the Usos.
Is that going to happen at Money in the Bank, or you think they're just they'll get
squashed? What, you think they're going to beat The Shield?
No, I'm thinking.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying, is that match actually
that's actually happening at Money in the Bank.
All right. I hadn't seen that, but yay for the Usos.
Yeah.
We'll get to the two world championship matches
and,
a little bit later on.
The Ryback is fighting the Y2J Chris Jericho.
Yes.
So if you were wondering why Chris Jericho wasn't in any of the Money in the Bank matches, which I started to at the beginning, I'm like, oh, wait, that's right. He's fighting the Ryback.
Ryback got in an argument about who deserved to be in the match, so they're going to decide who should be in the Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank, so they can't necessarily
exactly.
be in it. But you need some other matches on the card. Real quick, really cool DVD, speaking of things on the internet. WCW War Games.
Now
when I saw that promo, I got it.
That's
gotta admit,
what's up.
I got just about as excited for that as for RVD. I'm not saying that overall the reaction was the same as the crowd at Buffalo Wild Wings, but just personally, I was really excited for that War Games DVD.
Though I am too, because I mean, you make reference. You were the ECW kid. I was the WCW kid, and we both watched WWF at the time. But War Games was always one of my favorite match styles, and it was always cool. If you don't know what War Games was, it was pretty much 4-on-4. One man enters. At first, it's 1-on-1, then it's 2-on-1, then it's 2-on-2, 3-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-3. Then it's everybody is in the ring at the same time. But it's 2 rings stuck next together, and there is a cage around both rings, and it's just awesome.
Kind of not exactly a Hell in a Cell type cage, but similar. It's not necessarily, it's a steel cage with a roof on it.
Yeah, but you can't go to the outside of the ring like a Hell in a Cell. It's almost like a regular cage match, just with a roof on the top.
And you can go in between the cages.
Yeah, yeah, and like looking at some of the matches they have on the DVD, you have the Four Horsemen, which at that time was Ric Flair, Sid Vicious, Barry Windham, and the living legend Larry Zbysko, versus Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiner Brothers. That was from Wrestle Wars in 91. Another one that is more infamous than it is famous is Sting, Davey Boy Smith, Dustin Rhodes, and the Shockmaster versus Sid Vicious, Vader, and Harlem Heat. That took place in 1993.
I had just seen the debut of the Shockmaster.
Yeah, Rab had never seen the Shockmaster.
Oh my! You want Jesus Christ?
I mean, that's really all you can say about the
Shockmaster. Being the Raw anonymous general manager was smoother than the Shockmaster.
So Hornswoggle being the illegitimate son of Vince McMahon was handled smoother than the Shockmaster's entrance.
Eugene feels bad for the Shockmaster.
Oh, Jesus, Eugene. Nick Dinsmore is actually a pretty decent wrestler. Another match that I like is Team NWO. That was Hollywood Hogan, The Outsiders, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash, and NWO Sting. Yeah, remember that one. And they fought Team WCW, and that was Lex Luger, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and Sting. And then this is the reason that I'm, well, other than the fact that I'm excited that there's finally a War Games DVD.
Well, yeah, because
this is a big deal. They have the Team NWO match, which was Kevin Nash, Buff Bagwell, Six, and Conan, versus the Four Horsemen, which was Ric Flair, Steve McMichael, Kurt Hennig, and Chris Benoit, and it is not edited in any way.
Nope.
They didn't try to cut out Benoit. They didn't cut the air feed when they mentioned his name. This is, as far as I know, this is how it originally aired. And this is the first time since Chris Benoit did that horrible, horrible act in the early 2000s that...
The first time since the Chris Benoit infamous tribute Raw that... Mm-hmm. He will be mentioned in WWE programming.
Yeah, because if you remember the night after that WWE Memorial show to Benoit, they came on ECW and Vince McMahon, they just did a cold open, and he explained since Raw aired the previous night, they'd learned what actually happened, and they gave their condolences to Benoit's wife and child, and then said, "This is the last time we will be mentioning Mr. Benoit's name on WWE programming, and you'll never see him again on WWE programming."
Yep. And Voldemort.
This is huge. This is the first time we're going to see or hear or any mention of Benoit. Period. Since it happened,
I would be interesting to see their logic on this, because you could say, "Well, this might have just been a critical War Games match, and it had to be on there." There were things that happened in the WWE that had been excluded from DVDs.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Were, I mean, matches at WrestleMania that could have been talked about in, you know, the history of WrestleMania DVD.
Yeah, I mean, that Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, Triple H triple threat match, never mentioned.
All sorts of things.
That moment where he and Eddie are in the ring after they both won the championships and they hug in the center of the ring,
yep,
never to be seen again because of what happened. Yep. And I can't blame them for doing that. At the same time, it's like...
When they talk about the Royal Rumble, they don't talk about Chris Benoit because he had some great Rumble performances. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I still remember the some of the ladder matches he had with Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental strap. I remember Chris Benoit taking a lion or a Walls of Jericho on top of the ladder. That still sticks out in my mind like I saw it yesterday. But it's maybe the reason they left Benoit in this one is because this was a pretty big War Games match. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it for you. Kurt Hennig is the last member into the match, and he's going to do the hot tag. He's going to save the Horseman, and he gets in the ring and turns on the Horseman and reveals his NWO t-shirt. And that was one of the bigger War Games that I remember. But at the same time, maybe they also left him in because it might be really hard and extremely awkward to edit out all the shots and mentions of Chris Benoit for the match to make any sense at that point.
You either can't show that match, which was important to the DVD.
Especially to the way they're advertising it. They are saying every War Games match. Every one.
Yes. So you can't take that. There's no way to edit him out.
Yeah.
The match would look stupid.
It would look disjointed.
Yes. So, and you can't exclude that because you're saying all the War Games, which I'm excited about.
I am so amped for this DVD, dude.
I'm a wrestling historian geek, so I have a great appreciation for WCW. So, I mean, to be able to, and the War Games was one of the...
War Games was such a cool concept. I really hope WWE brings it back. Yeah. I'm hoping this is them kind of testing the water to see what the reaction to War Games is now. And if it's a positive... Hell, maybe next year's payback will be War Games.
Could be.
Just throw in another fucking gimmick match or gimmick pay-per-view. Why not? But yes, big news if you're a WCW fan, kind of like I was. And also just in general, this is big that WWE is including Benoit in anything.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to advocate that he needs to be included in WWE 14, or he needs to, you know, they need to re-release the Chris Benoit DVD or whatever.
I just think this is big. I haven't seen that match. You could attest to it. It's one of those things, because there's all those components that they don't feel like they're spotlighting Chris Benoit.
Exactly.
And that's why they're doing... He's in the match, but it's not like you're a Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho singles match.
Exactly.
So, but like I said, coming back out of it, the other thing we want to talk about is the remaining World Championship matches.
We got two of them.
And the one, we'll start with the World Heavyweight, and then we'll come to the one I think we're most excited about. You do have that rematch, Dolph Ziggler versus ADR. It's the return match from Payback.
Yep.
It's Ziggler's rematch. And, you know, these are two guys who work well. And like you said, the intriguing thing here is they've kind of switched roles. Not completely.
Yeah, it really feels like WrestleMania 13, where Bret Hart and Steve Austin went into the matchup where Bret Hart was the staunch face, Steve Austin was the staunch heel, and by the end of the match, they kind of had replaced each other. Austin was the face, and now Hart was the heel. I don't think it's full-blown, you know, he is now definitive babyface Dolph Ziggler, but at the same time, I think we might see more of a tweener Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler's, I won't say the most he can be, because hey, he could be a damn heel. He could be a face if he wanted to, but I think the most in this, with his persona, he can be is a tweener, because he's so over.
Well, yeah, and
for whatever reason, after Payback, the crowd has just soured on Alberto.
Though, I think it might have been before Payback they soured on Del Rio, because as much as they tried, Ricardo was more over as a face than Del Rio ever was.
I didn't accept that he was a face. It's, I liked his heel work better. He's so good at being a heel.
Yeah, he's a much better heel.
And he said in interviews, the Wrestling with Rosenberg he did, I don't want to be a face. I like being a heel.
Well, and it, for whatever reason, he plays it way better than a face. I got kind of tired of face Berto.
I think they needed a face over there on SmackDown to go against Ziggler.
Oh, and speaking of Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez has the worst Southern accent impression I've ever heard.
Ma, I tell you what, there.
Yuck. I mean, we live in the South. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say yuck, except like maybe Goofy.
I've taken some calls from some very Southern people in my day job, which I will not mention. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, so, Ricardo, you're entertaining, but if you're going to be doing, voices, you might want to work on that.
I'm glad that if it was just the crowd turned on him, so they went with it, and he's just going to be a heel, by all means, because he's much better at that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have the clear cut, well, he's a good guy, and we're not stupid.
Yeah. Some people would disagree with that, but go on.
Well, I mean, you bring up Steve Austin. He and The Rock at one point, certainly there were points where The Rock was a heel when he was aligned with the corporation.
Yeah, he was the corporate champion.
And the corporate champion and all that. But they got to a point where both those guys were so over.
Yeah, they just said, we can't do anything except let you guys cheer for him.
Or like we said with Daniel Bryan and John Cena. They're both over. They're both faces.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's not clear cut down the middle, but there's the segment of the WWE fan base who likes John Cena and what he stands for. And there's the segment who despises John Cena.
And downloads wrestling podcasts. Hi, everybody.
Yes, and they think Daniel Bryan's awesome. Yeah. So as long as you create a dynamic where the crowd likes one guy and doesn't like the other, and if you can get it kind of 50-50, which I kind of feel like they have that dynamic going in the WWE these days, you have the 50% who are like the kids and the marks. I'm sorry.
Oh, you used that word.
They're marks. There will always be marks in wrestling. It's still real to them, damn it.
Nothing wrong with it.
And then you have the other half who's the smart,
snarky sons of bitches like us.
IWC. who I don't associate myself to be with, even though I get on the internet and do a podcast and read about wrestling.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I don't not enjoy wrestling if it's something other than Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in a Ring of Honor.
Five-star epoch. Best of seven pinfalls.
No. Honor before dishonor match where you have to shake hands and everything. Like,
or bow or some crap or curtsy. Whatever.
Have fun
ROH.
With that Gabe Sapolsky or whatever.
Gabe Sapolsky.
Whatever his fucking name is. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
That was almost like Ryback saying Lucifer.
I just shot on the guy who created Ring of Honor and I didn't even say his name right.
Way to go, dude. You did it.
But so good for Bert. Good for whatever. Whatever works best for your character. And I think because of the storyline angle they're pushing, it works if you only have a tweener and a heel.
Well, it's like talking on the storyline and where they're moving forward. Remember on Monday they were saying that Dolph Ziggler was not cleared to be there. He wasn't going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then when Del Rio was hightailing it from the ring with his back turned towards the entrance and he's looking at Punk, Ziggler just shows up like a house of fire and just destroys him. And then Ricardo tries to pull Ziggler off of him, and then he just chucks Ricardo and then goes back to just beating the hell out of Del Rio. That was awesome. I really liked the way they seemed to...
And the fans liked
that. Oh, the fans went insane. I like the way they're building this. It's like back in the day, it's like, oh, well, this wrestler has been suspended and he can't come down to the Nassau Coliseum or whatever. And if he does, he'll be arrested. And then by the end of the night, that fired up babyface was there and just whooping ass. He was fighting security to get through it.
There's no reason that, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be full on babyface. There's no reason that Ziggler's character can't be the quote unquote good guy. Just because he's a cocky kind of show off. I mean,
well, I agree with the character, but what they're doing with him right now, it might be awkward because I mean he's teamed up with AJ and Big E, and those two are very, very much heels despite hanging out with Ziggler. Now maybe AJ turns on him and go hangs out with Big E or something.
I kind of feel like that's the next big thing. Please don't come get me, Brock. that's the next move to make. Is because I mean you might as well do everything you can do while you got it at your disposal to do, where Ziggler and AJ and Big E are all kind of on different paradigms and they're all hot in the company. Right.
Mm-hmm,
now.
They are.
They're all over. So you might as well.
Yeah, I would like to see them get
and
a little bit more.
If you're wanting to elevate Big E to the next level, a feud with Ziggler, who's an established guy, you gotta always. ABW, you got to always be working and thinking about, I got this new young kid and he's getting over, and if I got to get him to that next level, I got to bring this piece, even if I got to break up Ziggles and Funtime. But real quick, before we get out of here, let's talk actually more interest in that World Heavyweight match than we
yeah, I was going to say.
That went up. Let's talk about the, I guess this would be the main event.
Yeah, I'd be willing to wager.
It's certainly the top few.
Yeah, co-main event with the Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, the WWE Championship's always going to get high billing.
Oh yeah, well,
you got the champ, John Cena,
and he is here.
Yes,
and apparently his time is now, or something.
Our time is now.
Wait, I thought our time was up, and his time was now. I'm confused. But
it says our time is now on the back of his T-shirt.
Well, there we go. I don't read John Cena t-shirts nearly as well as Rab does.
I like that he has an arrow pointing to the champ is here, so not only does it point to the belt that's screen printed
on the shirt
yeah. But it also points to your crotch. So
well,
the champ is here.
DX says two words, suck it. No,
I think I might have seen that on a Tosh tweet. Somebody took a picture, and it was a John Cena shirt, and it was pointing down, but it was cut off so you couldn't see the belt, so it just looked like it was... that's who put... I got to give Daniel Tosh credit for
that's
that. That's
pretty
putting
funny.
That in his head. But, wow, talk about an out of kind of left field storyline executed perfectly.
What a fantastic promo that Mark Henry cut the other night. If you remember, before Monday, I want to say it was the night of Payback, there were tweets being put out by Mark Henry. It's like... big announcement coming to Raw. And he finished it with, like, Father Time is undefeated, and everybody was speculating.
We retweeted it.
Yeah, we retweeted it and was like, okay, maybe Mark Henry is done. Maybe he's hanging it up. And then there were those reports that he was in the doghouse with the WWE because he just decided after WrestleMania, it's like, yeah, I have some injuries that I need to take off for. The WWE was like, really? Are you that hurt? Those are the reports. Now with everything that's played out the way it is, and has, I wouldn't be surprised if those were just, you know, plants from the WWE. Those were part of the storylines that they were just working the IWC. But
more, or they're working smart with the legit thing that he was kind of concerned.
Yeah.
And he went and get it evaluated and it worked out. So now they're just going to work it into the storyline because they might as well, because he was gone so they can use it. Fantastic promo, and kudos for Mark Henry for wearing the pink.
Yeah, that salmon was nice. Jacket was, yes, fantastic.
Did fantastic promo and then slams. I knew something was coming because I had watched that Raw tape delayed. Thank you, Hulu. That is fantastic, by the way. So I knew he had the speech, and I knew he hadn't really retired, so I was still waiting to kind of see what was going to happen. That was perfect. He deserves an Academy Award.
He really does. That.
And then this week, I ain't shopping at no Men's Warehouse.
I look good. That's what I do. Mark Henry's so awesome now.
That went from 0 to 100. That's going to be a great match. And even though, again, like I said, we think that Daniel Bryan's going to win the Money in the Bank, I think there's at least a couple pay-per-view matches to get out of this feud.
There absolutely are. I mean, John Cena really thrives in these matches where he's just going up against the big giant monster. I mean, I remember his Royal Rumble match with Umaga back in the day, and that had every right to be terrible. But it was so good because Cena can bump like a madman for these big giant monsters, and he'll sell like crazy. And then Cena's offense is very powerful.
Yeah, and Henry's going to be fresh, which is key. Mm-hmm. When it got to the end of the... I guess he was feuding with Daniel Bryan back a couple years ago, and he had been the world heavyweight champion, and they had gone back and forth, and it seemed like they had just like a gazillion matches. And he was injured with his leg, but he just had, they didn't have anybody else. I think he kind of got a stigma for being a big stiff guy, and they also had the Big Show kind of interspersed in there too, and the two big guys. But he's fresh. He can move well.
He absolutely
can. He has the crowd invested because, I mean, talk about true life story and emotional. He's he's won everything but the championship, because the WWE championship is the championship.
Oh, absolutely.
In wrestling. So I just think it's fantastic. I give him credit for going with that storyline right now and not just cutting off the Daniel Bryan weak link thing and building on that, and eventually building that obviously towards John Cena if it plays out like we think, that he wins Money in the Bank.
In theory. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of Near Fall Radio. We'll probably be back before Money in the Bank. It's two weeks until Money in the Bank, so we'll probably be back the week of. So breaking down the card, letting you know what's going on, what to look out for, our thoughts on it, I guess. Rab, anything you got to plug?
Check me out on Twitter at TheWillRab. I do occasionally talk some wrestling on there, though most of my tweets about wrestling come through at Nearfall Radio.
Where you can follow both of us, that's twitter.com/Nearfall Radio. That's all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Landoz, LANDOZ.
We are trying to put more content out there on Twitter, usually in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. At some point, I'll have a couple tweets.
News and notes.
With some news and notes type thing, or a link of something of interest, so check that out. And then, hey, if you want to check some other sports stuff that I do, I write over at the Farm Club.
Mm-hmm. Check
and
that
it's,
out.
You know, whatever interests me, be it NASCAR or wrestling or SEC football.
And if you want to get in on the fun of us live tweeting Raw and pay-per-views, you can do that as well by following us on twitter.com/NearFallRadio.
Absolutely.
So for Rab Van Dam, Will Rab, I am Landon Doan, thanking you for downloading and listening to this episode of Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt munch. The 3 and 5.